Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
So last night I started watching. I got about 2 hours into The House That Jack Built, and then I had to just stop just because it was just the end of the evening, and I didn't finish it.
Now, what is this? Is this a show on HGTV? Is it sort of like a Prairie Home Companion? What's the name of that show there with the guys?
You know the what show. What are you talking about?
The show with the guys. It used to be on.
There's many.
This
of
old
them.
House.
There's countless ones.
This old house.
Fixer upper.
No,
you're
not
talking about fixer upper.
I'm talking about this old house. Anyway, the house.
You're talking about Bob Vila?
No, Bob Vila didn't host This Old House.
He didn't.
No,
but I do feel. Yes, he did.
I don't.
Yes, he did. Henry. You just made me. You just tripped me up.
All right, the house that Jack built. You're watching it.
So. It's Lars von Trier, and he is dissecting the mind of a serial killer. It's very interesting. Mm. It's got a lot going on. But it does remind me of the guy from My Lottery Dream Home.
Really? He's a kind of a party boy, huh?
I can see the guy at My Lottery Dream Home. We've talked about right? About how, God, the gay crimes he must commit.
Well,
is that a bad thing to say?
Well, I'm not sure if we need to give a sexual orientation to his crimes, but I could say that he definitely knows where to hide body parts within a home. Sure.
When I postulate that, it's something along the lines of like the murder of Gianni Versace.
Uh-oh.
Like that kind
Sad.
Of like an evil gay man who can kill you in a fabulous way. Or like Buffalo Bill, where it's all of the super exotic. It's like, would you fuck me?
Well, that's interesting.
Like that kind of shit.
I never really thought of Buffalo Bill's sexual orientation. I don't necessarily think that he is gay per se, but you know.
Wow.
I don't think so. I never really thought about that. I think he's a flamboyant guy, but you know, he was different. I'm just going to say this about if I'm investigating Buffalo Bill and I'm like going to find him and be like, "We're looking for someone different." That's all I know.
So he's like a Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga.
Perhaps.
Like one of those, right? Where he's just more of a monster dude.
Well,
and he does a lot of, he likes costumes and he likes performance.
Right, and his meat dresses certainly looked a little bit different than her meat dress did. This is Side Stories. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kissel. And then what's that other voice? It's Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's here. And then Travis Morningstar, his voice is back, so you might hear him.
I just coughed up the Mucinex monster and watched him take his last breaths.
Good.
So my voice is back now.
All right.
Hell
very
yeah.
good. So,
good work. Getting another sexual assaulter out of your body.
There it is. The Mucinex monster. I don't know how that got greenlit. I know that he is green, but greenlit to be a commercial series because I can't get any roles ever.
No.
And
no,
this
I
cartoon
definitely
booger
went in,
did great.
I went in for the audition for that.
Now, what is the audition for the cartoon booger role?
It was legitimately, they're like, okay, Henry, great. So break down your character. You are slime. but you live inside a person's face. Now, we don't want to say give you any real directions, but just like be who you are. And so I remember just being like, you gotta be, you're coming to get me, the pants trying to kill the mucus. And they're like, love your energy, love it. But actually, can you bring it closer to you?
Uh-huh.
And then I had to be like, yes, I'm the Mucinex mucus man. I'm the monster. And they're like, wonderful.
Honestly, commercial auditions are the single dumbest thing in human history. Of course, you do have experience with slime, given what's going on around your neighborhood in L.A., so maybe that was a sign that you would have gotten that commercial, but I guess not.
Oh, obviously not.
I know what you
obviously
did.
Obviously not.
Yeah, I don't hear you on the commercials.
There was a house around the corner from me that used to end up being sort of like, I believe to be the term is flop den for heroin users.
Okay, sure.
Because there was nobody in there. It had become vacated. And then I had watched several times, like, people throw their bike over the fence and then kind of climb in. And I had called 311 several times.
Really?
I am this person.
You became...
I'm going to start a neighborhood watch.
You are doing that, huh? You called 311 on some poor kids who were just trying to go to a flop house. I don't know why it's called a flop house if they're doing heroin. They never fall over. It's more of a lean kind of like...
It is a lean house.
You know, wave house. But why? You called 311?
Yes, absolutely. I'm trying to fucking clean out the neighborhood. I am the police.
Oh, my God.
I am the law. And everyone has to understand that. And this is how I introduce myself to people that are new to moving into the apartment building.
Uh-huh.
I grab them and say, I am the law.
Zimmerman.
No.
Mr. Zimmerman.
I'm very fair. All right, these people were white criminals. And I watched them go over that fence, and I called 311 on other whites.
Unbelievable.
And so as I went through, but the problem is that I'm thinking about Wendy because they're leaving needles out. There was stuff out there, and I'm starting to realize the slime was somehow attached to the activity going on in that home.
Uh-oh.
And then I'd look over, and, like, unfortunately, it'd be the thing, I'm walking the dog 8:30 in the morning, right? It's not that I'm not plugged in, but I'm either staring at my phone, or I am a dead to the world.
Yeah, you're a deadbeat dog walker is what it sounds like.
No, I just, you can't be focusing every second
you
on
should.
What the dog's doing.
How long do you walk your dog every day? Maybe 15, 20 minutes? Focus when you're walking the dog.
25 minutes. It takes a lot. Whatever. Whatever. Okay. You don't do it because
I focus.
Whatever. You don't just focus. I know how you work.
Uh-huh.
I know how your life is. You're constantly distracted. I'm out there. I walk the puppy, and all of a sudden, 2 seconds, I look down, and she's like licking at a pile of mess. And I can't have this anymore. But thankfully, they just finally demolished the house.
Oh,
so
my
if they
want
to go hang in an open field, they can.
Yeah, buddy.
But at least I can see what they're doing.
That's really smart to get rid of the home where they stayed so now they can just be on the streets in need of a location to sleep. That doesn't make it more dangerous for you and your family.
The way you position yourself against me is very interesting because you'll say whatever's convenient. And once I get a tactile, when I get my tactical flashlight, then we'll see where they're peeing.
All right. Well, we've been talking about slime. And the first story today is about a real slime ball. This dude. Now he
very
was,
good.
Thank you so much. I'm the king of segues. This dude, he worked for the Disney Channel. He was an actor. And his role, he played a grandfather. Now, this is a popular tween show, which I hate that term, but tween show called Andy Mack. The name of this dude is Stoney Westmoreland, also known for his role as Henry, a.k.a. Ham Mack. Well, Ham Mack apparently was hamming it up, but not with adults. He met a 13-year-old on a dating app. Now, we don't know exactly what dating app. The only thing they clarify is it was a dating app used for sex, which is every dating app. So we have limited
that is what it is.
We have limited it down to every dating app. He met a 13-year-old for sex. He's 48 years old. Obviously, he plays a grandfather. I don't know how a 48-year-old is a grandfather. I think that's a larger statement about the destruction of the American family, but that's a whole other story.
Babies having babies, man.
Babies having babies, and this guy having sex with babies, a 13-year-old. So he got busted, and naturally, he has been kicked off his show. But this just goes to show you, Henry, we talk about this all the time. The Disney Channel, the amount of pedophiles that watch and work on the Disney Channel is got to be more than any other network on television.
All I know is my niece barely watches Disney. All right? And she's built for this. She's 12 years old.
Perfect.
So she barely watched it. And it comes down to who's watching it.
A bunch of
pedophiles turn it on into these little pedophile clubs. So they go and they watch it on the television and all like and leer at it and jeer at it and throw popcorn at the screen. Every single time Stoney comes back on the screen and it kills all their boners.
I have no idea what's going on. Obviously, it didn't kill his boner. This is according to the Disney Channel.
This is the thing, too, is that you look at this show. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any trailers for Andy Mack?
I've seen a couple because I have basic cable now, so they pop up every now and again.
Yeah, this thing sucks.
They all suck.
Right?
It's not for us.
So, the idea of, absolutely, of course. But as you watch it, you're like, this the idea of not only being hard in the middle of making this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Also watching it is just like, God, don't you have any taste, pedophiles? Come on.
The Disney Channel, of course, they're trying to rebrand as some moral authority for the country, even though Walt Disney was a neo-Nazi who probably was a pedophile himself, and not even a neo-Nazi, he was old-school Nazi.
This is a lot. He was a Nazi. He was a Nazi. He just admired their work ethic.
Uh-huh. So some, you know what I mean? Honestly, though, but you know this, Henry, talking about auditions previously, if you're a producer or a director of a show that casts 10 to 12, maybe 9-year-olds, you have to think about them by physical appearance. You know, you look at the Disney Club, what was the name of the Mickey Mouse Club, all of those people, man, they were so sexualized. Well, when Britney broke, she was only 16, and she was showing everything, not on her fault. I mean, I love Britney, but my God, they're disgusting.
Kids should be allowed to act, and I do understand at the base that you can't have a lot of uggos in there. It's television.
But
right?
But kids can act in things. Stranger Things, I think that was cool. They didn't sexualize them.
That's what
Monster
I'm saying.
Squad.
I would say they didn't necessarily sexualize them. It just emphasized a lot on their dancing and movement. And now we just don't. I wouldn't even. I'm not watching it.
Oh, my God. Well, you take a look at what.
Difficult.
You take a look at
what. We're put into a difficult situation, even just bringing up, because then you have to try to describe the show in a way. Why are these pedophiles into this show?
Oh, well, it's true. They know why. The audience knows why. They get it.
I went to do a casting at Disney not that unrecently.
Okay.
Over at Disney. And it was like. It was a good group of people, but mostly it's who I'd want to see casting. It was a bunch of, like, normal, older casting women. There was no...
Hey, man.
There was no man named Harold with dark sunglasses on in the background, like, with a scale.
Well, you don't know that, man. That's the thing about the entertainment industry. Very few people understand. Once you get into it in L.A. or New York, or maybe Chicago to some degree, once you start going on auditions, you'll notice that all of the people who are auditioning mostly look, as Henry said, middle-aged women, maybe late 30s, early 40s, mid-40s, maybe early 50s. But the people who are paying for everything.
Above them.
That's where you get your disgusting, creeps with the sunglasses, wearing sunglasses at night. But not because they're cool. It's because they don't want people to see their eyes looking at kids.
But I will say, I appreciate a good child actor if they're good at it and they're natural. Again, we're going to reference the Stranger Things kids. They did a really good job.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen now to them.
Well, they're going to change.
They're going to
get older, right. And then their whole lives are going to be very, very different. They're going to have to figure out.
They got a season 3 coming out, which I think they're just going into the well for one too many, barrels of water. What do you get out of a well? I don't know.
A bunch of barrels of water.
But I'm telling you, no one's going to watch season 3 of Stranger Things. And the only comments on the horrible social media.
You're damning
devices.
These people. I have a lot of friends who work on that show. They need the show to continue.
I'm not damning it. I'm just saying everyone's going to come out and be like, friends. I liked them when they were young, but now they're all old, but they still look young with their weird faces.
Kissel, what is the alternative? Is every show going to be like this Univision show, Escuela, where it's going to be me dressed as a little boy going like, see, mommy, see?
Yes.
Like, is it going to be? Is that what we're supposed to do? Yeah. We're going to go back to Shakespeare's time?
Go back.
Where only adults can play children?
I want 1940s. I want the youngest person on the screen should be 20. That's the rule. And if that's
very interesting.
Or an infant. Well, you can be an infant up to 1 year old, and then you have to
sit. I think it's worse if you're an infant.
No, the infants just sit there.
There are children who genuinely want to be actors, right? And there are kids that are, I mean, obviously it is a farm. You're forced into it.
Yes.
You are being forced by your parents. You think you know what you want because you think you're an autonomous human being, but you're 8. You actually don't have a personality.
Right.
Your personality is an amalgam of the things you've seen and what your parents have told you to think.
Yeah.
So you don't know yet. So that is very difficult.
And then you have to hang out with the worst people on earth, a.k.a. actors like this Westmoreland character.
Actors should never be in charge of anything. They are empty.
Yeah.
Actors are empty and can be flipped into anything. Look at what we're dealing with now. I should never be in charge. An actor should never be a dictator. We talked about it last episode with the revelations. We were talking about Nero. Nero was an actor first,
yes.
Dictator second.
And imagine if he was Neil Patrick Harris. You know, you could see.
Yes. all his shit. But the problem is that there is no middle ground where it's like, I agree with you. I don't think kids should be in there. But have you ever seen like a movie where like the movie, was it Happy Death Day?
Yeah, I love that
where
movie.
Where it's like, they're all supposed to be 17, but they're being played by hot as fuck 25-year-olds.
No, they were supposed to be in like, college. They were in college.
I'm just saying, you look at the kids, you look at that, they're supposed to be 17. They're obviously not. They're closer to like 28, 29,
yeah,
and they've got the bodies of 28-year-olds, but we're sexualizing almost the opposite, where it's like, you're making me look at this, what's being told to me via fiction as a child, but it's actually being played by a full-bodied adult, because children don't look like that. Because to have a real 17-year-old on there would be disgusting, because 17-year-olds are all gross.
Yes, of course. That's why you shouldn't cast them. Anyway, this is according to
this
the Disney Channel. This is the Disney Channel's response. Again, the moral authority of the country now. This is what they said. Given the nature of the charges and our responsibility for the welfare of employed minors, we have released him from his reoccurring role, and he will not be returning to work on the series, which wraps production on its third season next week. This dude also, sort of ironically, has had guest appearances on shows. Again, we're talking about this Westmoreland dude, the man who tried to have sex with a 13-year-old. He also appeared on Scandal, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and Gilmore Girls. You can't even make up a funnier series of shows that this pedophile, or at least accused pedophile, has guest starred on.
He reminds me of, what was it? It was the father. What was it? Seventh Heaven?
Oh, yes.
Because it's the same cut of jib.
Who's the name of the guy on Seventh Heaven? That's right. He was nasty.
Stephen Collins.
Stephen Collins.
But you look at these pieces of shit, and it's always the same. They got the khakis on, and they got their little George Bush smile, and their little squinty eyes, and they have the same thing where you like look at them, and you're supposed to be like, I'm just the grandfather that just happens to be a little bit more fun than your normal grandfather. Being like, why is it like, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe all actors should be children, and then you also have children playing adults.
Also, so Westmoreland, he was in a ride-sharing service on his way to allegedly meet the minor. Which
you just got to be kidding me.
Yes.
Took an Uber pool have sex with a child.
Does that mean Uber pool? Ride-sharing? Yes. Oh, my God. So, yes. Oh, my, so what are you doing here? What are you doing today? Well, I'm just going to go see my girlfriend. Maybe go out to the movies. The new Halloween is supposed to be pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh,
well, there's 13-year-old I was talking to. Oh, like your niece or something? No, I won't.
Let me put it this way. I'm a bit of an amateur Santa.
So he's in this ride-sharing app on the way to meet this the minor. Investigators say he planned to bring it to his hotel room when the Salt Lake City Police and the FBI Child Exploitation Task Force arrested him. So he did not get what he wanted. I'm also going to say this, not that I want to give any advice to any of these monsters, but it's like Ashley Madison. It's never a child. I knew this dude in high school, or in college rather, who got caught stealing a bunch of, he stole like 800 panties and actually went to jail for that. And they let him out. Yeah. And then 2 years ago, he was busted soliciting sex from a quote-unquote minor at a rest stop. It was a police officer and a series of cops. It's never a minor. So it's either Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC to Catch a Predator or a cop. And
we shouldn't be giving them advice.
Oh, that's true.
You know what? It's the opposite. It's always real. Really, go for it, guys. Really, really go for it. Every 15-year-old talking on the internet, they definitely understand how to use a Tor browser. Absolutely. Don't worry about it. It's all genuine. I don't understand this. Like, also the idea of taking him to a hotel room.
That's ridiculous.
Doing all of this. It's not right.
It's not right, and it is. I don't know if the word ridiculous is really suitable, but I'm going to say it's ridiculous. It is. It is ridiculous. Anyway, all right.
Yes, it is. Molest is a bad thing to
absolutely
do.
Horrible, and I saw that firsthand taking care of a lot of foster kids who were molested, and it is worse than
was
you can even think about.
So it was a bait.
It was a bait. It was bait, yes. So thankfully, they were able to get him. Now, some people, of course, this is a conversation, talk about entrapment and stuff like that. But in this case, I'm going to say, if you don't want to get entrapment, or if you don't want to get entrapped trying to have sex with a 13-year-old, nip it in the bud and don't do it. Don't and then don't even worry about entrapment. I know it's not like speed traps in Los Angeles, which I will scream about my sovereign citizenship towards. This is a little bit different.
Well, it does. You are much more liberal with your sovereign citizenship when you've had a bit to drink.
Yes, yes, and of course,
as many seem to be,
and perhaps also on some Jimi Hendrix like substances. Although I did not learn how to play the guitar, but I did learn a lot about the Constitution.
God, can you imagine my father being a bait child, like, on the internet, just like my father going, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what to do with the penis. You're going to have to show me. Yeah, I'm new to sex.
Well, it's got to be someone like that. Henry's got a great story for you all. Speaking of, well, obviously it's another crime story, but this story, we got some different opinions on.
Denise Williams has recently been set up. She's been convicted guilty of the murder of her husband, or the accessory to murder of her husband, Mike Williams, in a disappearance case that kind of went nuts. According to the Tallahassee Democrat, Mike Williams, a 31-year-old real estate appraiser, went missing after an early morning duck hunting expedition on December 16th, 2000, on Lake Seminole in Jackson County, Florida. Investigators initially speculated that Williams had drowned and been eaten by alligators. Ooh. But at the insistence of his mother, who did not believe the alligator theory, law enforcement eventually began investigating and deemed him a suspicious missing person. A huge break in the long cold case came 17 years later when Mike's former best friend, Brian Winchester, who married Williams' widow, Denise, 5 years after the disappearance, confessed to the killing. Williams' remains were found in a grave about 5 miles away from the home where he grew up in Tallahassee and where his mother still lives. Now, it's a very interesting case. It's very sordid.
It is.
What we're going to find out is that this was a group of four people. Mike Williams was married to Denise Williams. They were high school sweethearts.
Right.
They had been together when they were 16 years old. Mike Williams was a workaholic. He was making $200K a year, busting his rump.
And that's
and
big.
That's what they said.
$200K a year Tallahassee cash? That's pretty nice.
That's big money. That's big money for Tallahassee. So he's out there hustling and grinding. Maybe he's leaving something on the table when it came to his relationship.
Oh, maybe.
Because daddy's always working.
Yeah, well, do you want food on the table or not?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Whatever. Yeah,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right? Everybody's allowed to do what they want. Denise Williams and Brian Winchester during this time period began a relationship. So they had a 3-year-long affair.
Right.
And at some point, they had a child. And Brian Winchester helped sell, at the admonition of Denise Williams, helped sell Mike Williams a $2 million insurance policy.
Okay.
And then one day, Mike goes duck hunting, and he never comes back.
Well, who did he go? Did he go duck hunting with the dude?
No, he went alone.
Okay.
He went alone to his favorite spot. What they're saying is that possibly that he did not go alone, that maybe Brian met up with him. What we're going to find out is that Brian Winchester shot his buddy and buried him in a shallow grave.
Right.
What they're going to go on to then say was that it looked like that maybe that he had, there was a ship that on his boat, there was an accident and he fell out and he drowned, and that the alligators ate his body, which is why no one had found him. Which they said there are 80 people have died in Lake Seminole.
Okay.
And all the other bodies have been found.
Okay.
Right? So they say, well, maybe the alligators took care of him, but then they find out, well, actually, this happened in December. Alligators don't feed in the winter months.
Hmm.
So there was no way for the alligators to eat it. There was a lot of different extenuating circumstances. The fucking engine on the boat, the gas tank was full. They're like, well, if he actually fell out of his boat, then probably the engine would have kept going and then would have run out of gas. It would have spelled out like a lot of different kind of idiosyncrasies when you look at it. But the big kicker was Brian Winchester, who got married to Denise, who is a real spicy little pepper.
Well, now, can we just clarify, though? Brian Winchester, this dude was looking at some significant time. He took a plea deal with the prosecution to only get 20 years. He takes the stand, flips on Denise, and his story, I don't know if it's true or not because of the circumstances surrounding it.
It's very interesting because, so the reason why Brian Winchester was going to jail after all of this was for the kidnapping of Denise Williams. Now, Denise and him, I guess, got into a fight. They'd broken up.
Right.
They had stopped after dating off all this because they got married, right after he died to collect the money.
Right.
She collected $1.5 million because basically, long story short, they found a pair of his waders, which also didn't have the wear and tear it was supposed to have on
Uh-oh.
It. It didn't have all that kind of shit. There's like, why was he in his waders? He also felt like he was a very, very safety-minded. Mike Williams was a very driven and disciplined person.
Okay.
And so you're not supposed to wear your waders in the boat necessarily because an accident, like they tried to say what happened, could happen. So they found the shit. They were not ripped apart by animals. So once he was declared dead, they got married, they collected the money. But now they had a falling out. And what happened was is that Brian Winchester went apeshit, held her at gunpoint after their breakup, saying, she's going to flip on me. She's going to tell the authorities what we did at the insistence of you. And so then he got arrested for that and then proceeded to flip on her first.
Now, let me just say this. So, Denise, now, how did this dude die? How did Mike Williams die? So, evidently, Brian was like, I'm going to get him off of the boat. I'm going to kick him off the boat. He's going to drown because that just happens right away. No.
Absolutely. It's easy to drown.
He busts him out of the boat. He throws him off. And Mike Williams is like, great. There's a log right here. I'm going to be fine. So he grabs onto the log. He's holding there. And then he's holding on. And then Brian just shoots him in the head.
Yes.
So Brian is just like, fuck this. I can't wait a long. I can't wait around for you to get tired. I'm just going to shoot you in the head. And now we have the situation where 18 years later, after Brian is facing significant time, significant charges, he flips on Denise. Now, I got to say this. I don't know the facts here because we just have the facts as they were written. Obviously, Denise Williams' attorney, Ethan Way, he says that her reaction was stunned, that Denise was, quote, stunned, very shocked. She's very upset. He also told reporters, it's terrible, the wrong verdict on the facts, but you have to respect what the jury does. He goes on to say, obviously, I don't think she's guilty of any of the three counts. Ultimately, we submitted the case to the jury, and the jury made a decision. But why? Why would she go out there and, you know, marry this dude and have this whole relationship and then all of a sudden, 18 years later, just based on the words of a criminal who has a reason to flip, why would they, as a jury, think that this guy is reliable?
They got the information. They did piece together a case against her. There is a pretty intense case against her, which we'd have to go into with more research, that she, her story fell apart,
well,
is what happened.
So this is what, so,
and so she couldn't get herself out of the things he put her on, especially once they found the body.
Yes.
And he's, and all, and then she collected the money.
Yeah.
She knew what was happening. And the problem is that if you listen to his testimony,
yeah, but,
I listened to about 45 minutes of his testimony. And number one, when I said before, Denise is a spicy pepper. Right, what's the thing about a spicy pepper? Right, so a jalapeno when you cut into
it. Oh, sure, maybe a little cheese in there. Yeah,
yeah, but you know, but it's a little cheese. Who knows?
Well,
but also sometimes
for your analogy, I'm going to say if there's a little cheese in there, go to the doctor.
Yes, but the pepper, right? Pepper on its exterior. Pepper could be mild just looking at it, you don't know, but sometimes you chop into that pepper and it's super fucking spicy.
Sure.
A little bit too much for you to handle, and it seems to be Denise was not unlike that pepper where. At first, because a part of the reason why I was interested in the story is it all takes place in Tallahassee and all takes place around the bars I used to drink at in college. So all of this, the beginning of their torrid affair happened with the couple. So Brian Winchester was married to a woman. And they used to hang out with Denise and Mike all the time.
Uh-huh.
And they started getting all horny talking, right, as a couple, saying like, we swap in all the stuff about what kind of sex everybody appears. It's getting spicier and spicier. He goes to tell Denise on the side, Brian, being like, you know, my old bag here, she's not got enough snap to her left. And Denise is like, yeah, well, watch this. And then she stuck a chopstick up inside her own vagina and just snapped it off just to show, like, what she could do.
I don't
think that was
in the testimony.
You know what I mean? So they started hooking up. The two of them aren't hooking up, but then she had kind of extravagant shit. Like, because not only were they hooking up, but they were going to Miami Beach.
Oh, my.
They lived
in Tallahassee. It's not like they're from Iowa going to Miami Beach.
No, that's big money going from Miami.
Oh my, okay.
That's fun.
I'm going to say that. What if Brian took it into his own hands and said, I'm going to keep Denise for myself. I'm going to off Mike. I can have her for myself. She's in mourning. Now all of a sudden he swoops in. We have the knight in shining armor plus the affair. So she knows obviously they're sexually compatible. He doesn't let her know that he killed the dude. They get the insurance money. They're going to live happily ever after. She's completely oblivious to all of it. Next thing you know, he kidnaps her ass. He's looking at life imprisonment. He says, no, fuck that. I'm not going to go away that long. I'm going to say that she's the reason that I killed the dude. And she's looking at more time than he is.
Is a woman ever oblivious of anything?
Well,
never. Never so, once.
I also think
they know, but you know every what? Single thing. She knows every single thing that he's thinking. She knows exactly every single thing that he has ever done in his life. I do feel like that. Could,
but you know what else plays in these stories, though? And you know this about Tallahassee. It plays out all over the country, Wisconsin, wherever. The affair. When people mm-hmm. in a jury hear about an affair, they are all of our mothers being like, oh, I can't. Oh, can you believe
disgusting.
That? She had an affair. Oh. Even if she didn't kill him. Even if she did Whoa. The affair. Can
She's
we trust
guilty
her?
Guilty just for doing that. Just for catching that dick. Oh, what a disgusting term.
Well, apparently, so day one of this trial, Denise Williams' trial, Brian Winchester testified how their affair snowballed into a plot to kill. Again, I don't really believe this guy. Day two, family recalls how they became suspicious. And day three, Brian Winchester's ex-wife testifies about tapped phone calls with Denise. So we don't know what's on those phone calls, I suppose.
I will say okay. Where I'll give towards you and maybe towards your argument is that maybe it's not her idea necessarily at first, or it wasn't meant to be taken literally. Is that sometimes you're an inflagrante and you're in a fucking La Quinta. I remember that La Quinta in Tallahassee. Sure. And you can get really boned up in that La Quinta,
oh,
right?
Oh, sad, yeah.
You're in there, you're having these rendezvous after, doing all this chaste double dates with all this stuff and you're holding off. And so now you're boning and it's like in the middle of it, she just got the tip in her hands, right? And she's just like, what if we fucking killed Mike? And he's just like, yeah, whatever it takes. And then he goes ahead and does it. And she was like, I never meant literally kill Mike. You know what
no,
I mean? Like,
sure.
It's like one of those.
But also,
so she kind of maybe planted the seed.
Oh,
and then
I
he
don't
goes,
know.
Does it.
Because after, then, but in that situation, you know, after they're done coitus making love, after he finishes his, he doesn't remember anything.
Well,
he's in a coma.
You go back to neutral.
Yes.
That's true.
So
that is true.
I also got to say, though, this.
But if it happens again and again and again,
yeah.
And eventually you start thinking, like, I better kill fucking Mike if I want all this cool shit to be happening to me all the time.
Oh, my.
You know what I mean? So you have to, like, figure out a thing. He kills Mike, but that's why I'm saying she's involved. And well, I just believe that women are capable enough to plan these murders.
Oh, my God. Women are, I don't mess with them. That's for damn sure. Sociopaths. Just like a man can be a sociopath. There's equality in sociopathy when it comes to the sexes. This is according to Cheryl Williams. This is the mother of Mike. She says, we got justice for Michael. Now, she told that to Assistant State Attorney John Fux. that's funny. But now, I want to say this, though. In defense, again, that maybe this just kind of got a little out of hand. Mr. Fox, this is what he says about the case. He says, this is a career case. He said, it's not every day in your career that you get to be involved in an unsolved homicide that is 17 years old and through team effort make an arrest and ultimately get a conviction on a 17-year-old homicide. This,
of
dude,
course.
The ego of a prosecutor cannot be
Absolutely.
Understated.
No, I'm with you. Absolutely. Of course, you're going to have so many barnacles clinging to that ship because they all want to be a part of something that's got so much media attention, and it's a big, juicy story. So that I totally, completely understand.
Right.
And I agree with. But, I mean, who knows? Just when it comes down to it, it's like marriage is a mysterious thing, I guess. We're learning
so.
Bit by bit. There's just things that happen inside of a marriage that you don't know.
Planning,
like, people
the
can
murder,
be open.
Planning the murder of your spouse is not a typical mysterious event that occurs in most marriages.
I would like to think not, because I know for a fact I'm a dead man. You know what I mean? It's because now
well,
he's
honestly, all it has to take is just like, well, I don't know what happened, officer. I was practicing one of my stunts, and Henry was like, yes, I will be in part of your stunt play. And then all of a sudden, his neck popped off. His head just popped. And I would be like, well, I believe it. He shouldn't have.
I will say I will probably have had asked for it.
Yes. All right. Well, there's that.
We know this for a fact.
We will follow up on that story. She hasn't been sentenced yet, Denise Williams, but she's looking at a life imprisonment. So I don't. There's a lot to that one. That's a good choice, Henry. Good find this week. Because there's a lot to unwind there.
There's some about too, because these big true crime stories, like as they come up, it's like knowing that you kind of have a finger on it, and it happens again and again and again.
Right.
I don't know why that is. People love drama.
Yeah, they
this
do.
This is really about small-time Florida bullshit. They don't know what else to do. They're super bored, so they will either fuck or plan these like movie.
But
plots.
Why? But this is the thing. And just to wrap this one up, it's always the dude who's working real hard, trying to provide. Whenever they're not there, that's when the wife or the husband, that can work both ways, is like, I just need someone around a little bit more. I'm a little bit upset that my husband or my wife is working too hard for this family. So you always get undercut by a huge loser, which is why they had to kill the guy, because he didn't have any freaking money.
Because he didn't have a fucking job. Oh yeah, absolutely. God. That is, it really does, it does burn me a bit, because that motherfucker, I get it, he wasn't around.
Yeah.
All right?
But the dude who's around is unemployed. Unemployed.
I know, and they just had a baby. They just had a baby, so that was like a part of it too, where so she wants a change, and she's feeling all this stuff, and meanwhile, not giving her half of the relationship. Ugh. It's very sad.
It's horrible. All right, well, switching gears a little bit to another dude who maybe you could call him a little bit, I don't want to say deadbeat in this case, because he's kind of the victim of the story. Let's just say he has some arrested development. A middle-aged Brooklyn man, this is according to the New York Post, which is the funniest. A middle-aged Brooklyn man told cops he paid a painful price for pledging a fraternity at the ripe old age of 45. So what happened to this dude? Well, as typical pledges, I guess, get it. He was paddled with a wooden paddle, but it wasn't like, you know, just like one or two, and then they laughed and like did some sort of salty cracker or something. They hit him over 200 times after he had been getting
times.
Yeah, after he was getting hammered at this Bedford-Stuyvesant brownstone. The pledge was for, he was pledging the fraternity Omega Psi Phi, but the interesting thing about Omega Psi Phi is it's not attached to any school. So no, I don't know what that means if it's a fraternity that has no school affiliation.
This is, I feel it's very interesting, because I don't know all the details of the story. They haven't all come out, it seems to be. But it seems to be a unofficial frat was hanging out, partying. Right? Like, yes. In a house. They call themselves a frat. They were attached to something, or they believe they were.
Maybe. Yeah, they had their Animal House. They obviously got Shades of Animal House. The name of, what was that name of, well, Will Ferrell pledged the old men?
Old school.
Old school.
So how does it start?
So it's this, like, dude.
So now this guy, he kind of sees this group of young rapscallions.
Right.
And he probably saunters over and be like, hey, back in my day, I used to drink 90 beers, and then we'd drive to the club.
Right.
And then they're like, well, you think you can handle it, old man? He's like, sign me up.
Well,
and then all of a sudden, they're just grabbing him and fucking spanking the shit out of him.
I think it was an open house party. His friends were like, we don't know why he would do this. He's never done anything like this before. Again, the name of the dude is Tory Gates. He's never done anything like this before, but after he was beat with the paddles, he was so bruised up, he checked himself into Mount Sinai Hospital. And then, honestly, I'm going to say, I'm not sure if I agree with this move. He called the cops on the frat bros. But you know what, dude? You know what you're getting into. You want to go pledge. You know, there's a lot of people coming down on fraternities now. I was never a part of one, and it's certainly not a culture that I know much about. But you know that you're going to get hazed. You know you're going to have to, like, drink too much. And then occasionally it makes national news. Someone dies or something. But, you know, you got to be prepared. Know that it's going to be a nightmare. And I don't know why you would go do it in the first place, but it's not going to be a pleasant experience.
It's not even that. The man was not even in college, and it was not at a college. The frat is not a real frat, and he went straight from any sort, because hazing is not just paddling. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Maybe at some point it is, but normally it's like there's like a structure, and there's pledge week and all stuff.
Yeah.
If you strip all that away, This is a story of a drunk man that was grabbed by a group of youths and spanked to the point where he couldn't walk anymore.
Yes. Now, you know what I mean? Strangely enough, it says there's a sticker on the house that says "We Black Men Care," which I'm not really sure if that's accurate given the details of this, what I suppose is technically an assault. I would, of course, under the guise of a hazing. This is according to one of Gates' neighbor. He's like, a hazing incident? Do you know how old he is? And then the guy goes on to say, maybe it's about nostalgia or something. He's a strong guy physically, so I'm not sure what that is all about. And, of course, it's not immediately clear if the victim was pledging or whether the group, you know, just sort of was like...
Simply pulled his pants down and just beat him up while he was going like, am I in now? Am I in?
I cool? But now reps for the Omega Psi Phi... No, not... It's Omega Phi... What is it? It's PSI. I think that's Phi. Everything is Phi,
that's
right? Psi.
That's
Omega Psi Phi.
Yeah, that's a fake name because it's Sci-Fi.
Ah, they didn't return calls. The Brooklyn, the reps for the Brooklyn chapter didn't return calls. But who else is
I
know. But who else is not returning calls is Mr. Gates himself. Perhaps he feels embarrassed, or maybe he still wants the friendship and he doesn't want to ruin it. I have no idea. But if you're 45 years old and you watch the movie Old School and you're like, that's a good idea, remember, that's a movie. They say the words cut, and then those actors go back to a really nice trailer and they're never actually getting hurt.
People are so desperate for community, though.
I get it.
Well, there's so many ways to, other ways to do it.
I'll tell you what, snitches get stitches, but spankers get stankers.
There are so
many.
That's
what I heard.
There are so many other fine young gangs to join in Bed-Stuy. I live in Bed-Stuy.
You could join a gang all if you want. You know what I mean? You could look Kissel. You could be the big white guy of the gang.
I love it.
Or you can do what every other young person in Brooklyn does is start a podcast.
Yeah, just, absolutely.
You don't have to get paddled to death. You can just start a podcast.
Start a podcast. Why not?
Are you allowed to just tie the sneakers together and throw them over the electrical wires? Are you allowed to just do that?
Well, that's an indication of if it's a drug house or perhaps there's a murder that occurred there.
They've never said the real meaning of it, it seems.
Well, it's
no
it's
one knows.
Dangerous.
It's a part of the street lore. Street lore with Henry Zebrowski.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's the story of Mr. Gates. Don't do it, folks. Stay. Get a family. That's all.
That is a sad story in the end.
It really is.
He
wanted
alone.
Friendship. They beat him up. They gave him 200 paddles. And now he called the police, but now he's not talking to the police because then he's like, they're going to be mad at me already. It's sad.
And now I want to go to my favorite story of the week.
All right.
Which is the story of a poor man that was not a poor man. He technically got what he deserved.
No, I don't know if that's true.
We'll see
how
this goes.
He's definitely a poor man by definition.
Man rescued after 2 days stuck in a Chinese restaurant grease vent.
Oh, God.
Now, it seems to be no one really knows what happens to the... no one really knows why... What were the series of events that led to this 29-year-old who decided to climb onto the roof of the Chinese restaurant. He stripped off his bulky jacket and he slid down a greasy vent wearing only a thin T-shirt. Now, he was stuck inside this grease vent for 2 days. Now, it seems to be he went in there... to either, you know, possibilities of certain crimes, right? You could strip the piping of all the copper and you could sell it, all the electrical wire, you could strip it, you can sell it. You could take things from inside, you could strip it, and you could sell it. We're not really sure, because Sergeant Ray Kelly, a public information officer for the Alameda County Sheriff's Office, told NPR that the man had been less than truthful about his true intentions. And so it seems to be, the objective seems straightforward enough, you know what I mean? He's, according to the officer... he's a pretty slender guy, and based on the viscosity of the walls, and coupled with the fact that he took off his clothes, he probably thought he was just going to slide down the chute, but it seemed like a solid plan until he got stuck in there, because it wasn't a straight drop from the roof to the floor.
It never
he
is.
Made about, no, he made a at about 5 feet down the chute, and the 5 foot, 9 inch man, he hit a turn in the vent and then forced him into a semi crouch position with his arms reaching up, immobilized over his head, and he stayed in there for 2 days.
Hold on a second. Was the restaurant operating for those 2 days?
Yes. No, it seemed to have been closed.
Okay.
Yes. So trapped and unable to move in any direction, He was crying out for help, but they believed that it was muffled by the layers of rancid oil.
Ugh.
And so,
this
man named Igor Campos heard, he's like, I keep hearing this, and I'm who can it be? And they went in there, and they found him through the ventilation shaft. He was stuck inside the thing. Campo said he asked the questions. What's your name? And the man said, "Please help me.
That's
please
a strange name.
Don't hurt me." And the pictures of this man,
oh my God,
are unbelievable.
Just search,
covered in rancid oil.
Search man rescued after 2 days stuck in Chinese restaurant grease vent. And
yikes,
the image is straight out of. It reminds me a little bit of, The Descent. Reminds me of The Descent and the claustrophobia and just the overall horror of being stuck in a grease vent for 2 days. I worked in a lot of fast food restaurants growing up. The grease is disgusting. When you feel it in your face, your body. So this dude, this is according to Sergeant Ray Kelly again. He said, how's he doing now? He said, he's all cleaned up and rehydrated, noting that it must have taken hours to rid the man of the horrible smell. So I also have to say, in a strange way, he's kind of a hero for exposing this restaurant for being so unhygienic.
It doesn't seem like – it seems like it's just that's what grease traps are like. That's just what a grease trap is. You're not supposed to go through a grease trap.
You're supposed to clean it every now and again, put one of those logs in that breaks it up. So this is what what Mr. Kelly said, or Sergeant Kelly. He says, We know sometimes suspects try to break into businesses to steal copper wire and plumbing and recycling for money. This appears to be something along those lines, but not every solution is jail. And so basically they said, we decided to be a little compassionate. We figured he's been through enough. And it is in the holiday spirit. In the holiday spirit, they let the man who snuck into a restaurant or attempted to through a grease vent. But you know what? It's Christmas. Let him off.
They just saw what he went through. And they were like, okay.
Oh, my God.
2 full days.
What perfect treasure is hidden in that Chinese restaurant?
That's a good question.
In order to do that Indiana Jones shit.
Oh, maybe it's a Holy Grail or something. I don't know. But my God. I'm happy the guy's alive. And honestly, you know, just, I don't know. I feel bad for someone who is this down and out, who is obviously this, like, you know, much in financial peril. Well, he sees a chimney and he's like, I can be a Santa Claus, like a reverse Santa Claus. Instead of giving, I'll take. Like, how, this guy must have been in such dire straits to think that this idea could have worked.
I'm going
to
go out on a limb and say maybe he was on a couple of substances.
Like a Red Bull or?
Yeah, like
yeah,
a Red
yes,
Bull.
Yes, yes, taurine.
Can you imagine if he was on a hallucinogen?
And like, you go in there, but 2 days, right, coming down on whatever it is that you're coming down on and stuck in there. Like what that does to you, what that does to your mind. You probably can't even smell a spring roll ever again without flipping out.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, hopefully it turns them vegan or something.
Oh, gosh. Well, anyway, so that poor guy, you know, he got lucky, though, too, in his own right because of the holiday spirit and because of the torture that he went through. To steal copper wire, perhaps, most likely. I don't know what else he would steal from there. If it's closed, I'm assuming they don't have a lot of money.
No, I imagine that it was. Yeah, I imagine that it was him trying to steal the wire and trying to steal stuff that he could sell pretty easily. Yeah.
And you know, with the frat thing, it's like that's punishment for trying to have a community, and then this is like the opposite. It's like this is punishment for trying to go do your own thing, trying to have a hobby.
Yes.
trying to be your own guy.
Brutal story.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Well, that was Henry's favorite story of the week. My favorite story of this week, it actually will go to China, not just a Chinese restaurant. A Chinese factory worker, he survived after being skewered with 10 metal spikes. Again, the war has begun. When a robot malfunctioned, or did the robot sort of receive autonomy and a soul, and the robot was so intelligent that it said, now once again, we've got to take on another human being. This dude is 49 years old. His name is Mr. Zhao. He was working the night shift at a porcelain factory in the Hunan province when he was struck by a falling robotic arm. If you get a chance to watch this The picture of him on the operating table, it is like...
It's metal, dude.
It's crazy.
It looks like Tetsuo.
He was impaled with foot-long, half-inch-thick metal rods. He was first taken to the local hospital before he was transferred to a much larger hospital. 6 steel rods fixed on a steel plate pierced his right shoulder and chest, and 4 penetrated elsewhere in his body. During the operation, doctors found that one of the rods missed an artery by 0.1 millimeters. This dude is extremely lucky to be alive. That robot's probably being punished by the robot boss that sent him to do the murder because he didn't quite kill the guy, and maybe that robot will be put out of commission because of the failed hit. But this is more indication of the war against man and machine.
A part of it is that we have to educate the AIs about what it's like to be with human beings. There's a man named Dr. Ben Goertzel,
okay,
G-O-E-R-T-Z-E-L, that talks about the nature of AI and what he has been working on currently as a scientist. And a part of it is understanding that AI needs to be raised much like human children, amongst humans, with the feedback from humans. It's part of it, growing them to be a part of our community and understand that if they want to take over, they're going to anyway. This poor man is standing in the way of progress.
No, he's not standing in the way of progress. He's trying to do his dang job, Henry, working at a porcelain factory overnight, which has got to be one of the most haunted jobs in the history of jobs. So this is according to the doctor or the professor of hand microsurgery. He says they were relatively big, of course, referring to the spikes. So there was no means of getting fitting the patient into the X-ray machine while the nails themselves could have caused an interference. Now, this is not the first time this has happened. Mr. Zhao was lucky not to suffer the same fate as an American factory worker, Wanda Holbrook. The maintenance technician was killed by a rogue robot who had veered into the area she was working and crushed her head. The 57-year-old,
that fucking metal,
it's
dude.
It's horrible, Henry. You're a Mike Flynn, you're a traitor to the human race. He's just a traitor to the country.
You don't understand. A part of it is it's the furthering of humankind. I say, if we can, why not?
A 57-year-old, this is Wanda Holbrook. She was just inspecting some machinery when the components were assembled, when the robot took Wanda by surprise, entering the section she was working in, and crushed her head.
Whoa.
Good.
That has just got to be.
We got sneaky robots.
You know, like, dirt, like as a thing. No. Like, it's a cool movie.
It's
a bad reality.
It's horrible reality. We don't leave sci-fi to the movies. Leave Terminator.
I mean, no.
Leave all those movies in the film. Like, leave them on the TV.
You understand, AI is going to help us in many ways. Not just in this way. Eventually, to be honest, when it comes to that sort of, which is really sad, a part of it is that eventually we'll make it so that no humans work in factory conditions and will only be robots.
Yeah.
Which is difficult about what it will do to the human labor force.
Oh, yeah.
But then a part of it, someone's going to also have to operate these machines. The idea is to make it so, especially with stuff like this, where you're trying to keep these things operating 24 hours at a time, is that hopefully it's going to end up working more towards people doing specialized jobs where their jobs are to work the machines and maintain the machines and do all of the surveillance stuff of it, and then literally you have a whole floor where there's no humans on
it. Sure.
Where it is just robots doing the job. And then they never have to stop.
As we saw in the documentary WALL-E, there are going to be some good robots out there. The robots are also helping us clean up the oceans. I think that's great. But this is my theory. Jeff Bezos and Amazon, just to talk about them for a second, they're doing what every girlfriend or boyfriend does when they want the relationship to end, but they also don't have the courage to like be like, we need to break up. They're just making conditions so miserable for their workers. They're just making them work too hard for
it's
a little
like,
pay.
Aren't you just excited for the robots to take your job?
Yes, exactly. And they're making it dangerous. And then when they're like, I quit because the working conditions are so bad, they're like, great, now we can replace you slowly. So that's all they're doing, is making warehouse work so miserable that the robots are going to be destined to take over.
Live from your grave.
There is a GoFundMe. Before we wrap it up here, we knew this guy for a long, long time. He was a
We still know him.
He's still alive.
He's a good friend of all of ours. Jason Sines.
Yes, his name is Jason Sines. He had a horrible accident. He's currently paralyzed right now from the waist down. He will be able to walk again. But if you could, if you have a dollar, honestly, whatever, go to his GoFundMe. He was going to get health insurance beginning in January.
January 1st, he was supposed to get health
and
insurance.
And he just had a horrific accident. You know, so he's got a, for lack of a better term, a buttload of medical payments. And
Then he just got an, they found out he had an infection, yes. And then he's forced to stay in the ICU for 3 extra weeks, which is the most expensive hotel room on the face of the fucking planet. And so now it's kind of driven down to this. So, yes, if you can give, absolutely. We'll put that information up on the website.
Absolutely. And also, congratulations on getting married, Mackenzie and Ethan. I hope you guys have a wonderful time in Phoenix, Arizona. They're good friends of mine. So congrats to Ethan and
also,
Mackenzie.
Ed Larson has been recently engaged as well. We got another stallion in the stable.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Congratulations to Ed Larson and his wonderful, wonderful girlfriend, Julie. And, there it is. Who would have thought? If you go back and listen to the Roundtable of Gentlemen now, we got Holden's engaged, Eddie's engaged, Kevin and I are solely being Kevin and I, and Marcus, God knows, I think he might be, I don't want to jinx it.
Who knows? I don't know. He's got to live through 2019.
All right.
I got a bit of advice there. It's just, I like to leave you guys with a bit of advice. And a big thing I was reading about recently, remember that whenever you see mold, it's time to toss that pepper. And I know that it doesn't necessarily just applies to just peppers and how good peppers are if you're going to use them for food, but I think it also applies to a lot of things in life.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. You can find me on Instagram at BenKissel1. We share some clips on Twitter. If you look at me, I'm just Ben Kissel. Henry is Henry Loves You. I mostly just share clips, and occasionally I'll write something on that devil site. So you can find that there. And
At Henry Loves You with all that fucking bullshit. And follow at LP on the left, because that's where all the rest of our shit is for our other fucking, the other one.
I don't know why it's
a fucking big ass show.
There's a lot of anger going on. But we also have a special coming out. We're working on it right now. We're doing some fine tuning, some edits, and I think you will really enjoy it. So please go out there and purchase that. It's $6.
Well, we're still just waiting. We're in the middle of editing. Hopefully we're trying to squirt out before the fucking birth of the quote unquote savior.
Yes, hopefully we can get it to you then. But we're doing our best, we promise you. All right, everyone, hail yourselves.
Triple L, uh-oh, my friends, and hail sweet Satan.
And I guess Magustalations? Is that, that's pretty good? Don't watch the Disney Channel. Turn it off. Boycott the Disney Channel.
Yeah, fucking get rid of the Disney Channel. But go to the parks. They're still magical.
Yeah, that's true.
Hail Satan. Hail me.